Don't let a good day come and go without figuring out the why behind that good day. A few days ago, I was going through this box in my office, and in it, I found this big plastic magnifying glass, a toy detective pipe, and one of those double-billed detective hats that Sherlock Holmes might wear. I smiled when I came across these plastic props, and I decided that I should start using them again. In the past, when I was using them, what I would do is, when someone would reply to the question of how was your week with a pretty good, good, really good, or great, I would then hand the person the magnifying glass, the toy pipe, and the detective hat and say something like, let's play a little detective here so we can find a few clues that might lead us closer to solving the case of why this was a good or great week for you. I bought those detective costume pieces years ago because of a common tendency that I've noticed when talking with people. When someone tells you that they've had a good week or a good day, if you ask them why, that question will often be met with a puzzled look and a response of, what do you mean? Or, I don't know. Those seem to be the two top responses. And when it isn't one of those, the answer given is usually that the week went well because nothing bad happened. And the reason why I find this so interesting is because of how different the inverse of that situation usually goes. When someone tells you that they've had a bad day or bad week and you ask them why it was bad, you will not get a puzzled look. And you will rarely, if ever, get a response of, I don't know. What normally happens is that the person is well aware of, willing and able to describe and detail the reasons why it was bad. You may hear things like, well, I got in a fight with a friend or family member. My car broke down. My boss is being a jerk. I sprained my ankle. I got some bad news. The weather sucks. My team lost. Or I had some bad sushi the other night. Whatever it may be, people will usually be able to provide plenty of reasons behind or backing the bad. But when things go well, after a delightful day or a wonderful week, we often don't spend much time thinking about, reflecting on what occurred to make that goodness possible. Now, this has a lot to do with our brain's built-in negativity bias. But the fact is, there are just as many reasons or ingredients that make up a good day as there are explanations for the bad ones. And because our brain is more prone to focus on, detail, and describe the bad, many of us need to take a closer look to find and reflect on the reasons why things seem to go our way on a good day. It isn't random. It isn't that magic pixie dust was sprinkled from above. And it isn't just because something bad did not happen. I sometimes think we treat good days like baseball players treat a pitcher when they're throwing a no-hitter. If you're not familiar with how this goes, when a pitcher is throwing a no-hitter in between innings, when the pitcher is sitting in the dugout, what you'll notice is that no one talks to the pitcher. No one will even sit next to them. They don't even acknowledge the guy. Sometimes the announcers won't even mention it. And as a fan, if you bring up the fact that the pitcher is throwing a no-no, don't be surprised if someone chastises you for even bringing it up. There's a superstition that by simply acknowledging it or talking about it, that alone will mess everything up. It will jinx the pitcher and cause him to give up a hit in the next inning and give up that no-hitter. I think some of us treat good days like this, that by talking about them or breaking them down, that this will somehow mess everything up. When it comes to things that go well, it's been said that it's best not to mess with a good thing. But that's some awful advice if that don't mess message means not to assess and address that which resulted in success. And on the topic of advice, the type of advice that we usually give or get from others, it sounds nice. Things like be yourself, love yourself, or bet on yourself. While these worn-out words will look nice on a worn-out piece of reclaimed barn wood, these types of suggestions don't really provide any specific or actionable steps one can take. And I just checked the DraftKings sportsbook app thing on my phone to see what kind of odds I could get if I decided to bet on myself. But it turns out the boys in Vegas aren't taking any action on that particular bet. But back to it. I really wish more people would avoid the platitudes and instead talk about and describe the specific and practical things they do on a daily basis that contribute to them having positive and productive days. Things like put your alarm clock on the dresser so you can't hit the snooze from bed. Sit outside for a few minutes every morning while you drink your water, your tea, or your coffee. When you set something down that you need to remember, say out loud, I am setting this down on the table. Or recommendations like take the time to set up automatic payments, delete Facebook, or don't eat spicy foods before bed. While you won't find any of those pieces of advice printed on a coffee mug, they do provide a more specific and useful approach that can be put into action today. I have a quote written on my dry erase board that sums up this sentiment. It's from John C. Maxwell, and it goes, "You will never change your life until you change something you do daily. The secret of your success is found in your daily routine." End of quote. So the next time you have a good or great day, don't let it just slip away. Before you turn in for the night, take a few minutes to reflect and dissect the who, what, where, and whens that made up that day. For the who, think about who you spent time with and who you did not spend time with. Who did you talk to or listen to? For the what, ask yourself, what did you do that day? What didn't you do? What activities or hobbies did you make time for? What did you eat? What did you watch? What did you read? For the where did you go? What places and spaces did you spend time in? For the when, think about and write down when you got up. When did you eat? When did you leave work? When did you go to bed the night before? These details of a day, they might not seem all that important. You may not think they're worthy of being unpacked and documented, but they are. I promise you. I had this picture hanging in my office at home that reminds me of this. It's a black and white poster showing the underside of 9 iconic mid-century chairs that were designed by Charles and Ray Eames. And at the bottom of the poster is a quote from Charles Eames that reads, "The details are not the details." That poster, that quote, reminds me of just how important the details are. One small detail can make a significant difference. It can change your day, or maybe somebody else's. And several small details can add up to create an exceptional day or experience. So I encourage anyone listening to this to think about, to define, and document the details that make up a good day for you. Because when you figure out the who, the what, the where, and whens of a day, you'll then be able to arrive at the fifth W of why. Why it was a good day. And if you do this with some frequency, you will start noticing some trends. You'll be able to see what ingredients make for a great day. This reflection process can help you figure out and fine-tune your very own routine recipe. And with all those details now at your disposal, you can then design your days. Days that would be described as being some good ones. Or who knows, maybe even some great ones.